Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Remix My Fitness podcast, where we learn that there is more than one way to train, eat, and live. I'm your host, MC Kim, aka The Kind Intelligent Man, and what an episode we got for you today as we tap into another live coaching call with a client of mine. Before we get into all of that, please make sure that you subscribe to the podcast. Smash that button. Not too hard, because I know how strong you are. And of course, you can hit me up on any of the social stuff here. You know, the Instagram, the Facebook, the LinkedIn. But you know your guy MC Kim loves the old school way, which is the email way. So you can always hit me up at mckim@remixmyfitness.com. All right, so now that we got all that stuff out of the way here, so I'm going to take you into parts of a coaching call that I had with a client of mine. His name is Wayne. He is 40 years old, and he has made the transition to training at home. An avid cyclist, an avid gym goer, but of course, something called the pandemic has kind of changed all of that for him. And you get to hear today, his goals have changed. Some of the things that he was doing before are not working for him now. And particularly one thing, which is he's injured, he's worried about getting injured again. He still wants to work out, but he's just not sure what he can and shouldn't do. So let's go and learn a little bit more about Wayne, his journey, and how I can help him today. So if you're ready and I'm ready, let's go and do this. Hey everyone, before we get into it with Wayne today, I just want to mention that in today's conversation, I'm talking about certain exercises with him. You don't see this, but I'm actually demoing the exercises for him so that he knows what to do. Now, obviously, you can't see that. So you can always go to today's show notes and you can see the three exercises that I talked to him about that he can do while he is injured. So you can always visit remixmyfitness.com, visit the show notes for this episode, and you'll get to see all the exercises that I described to Wayne. Now, we're going to get into it with him, but let me just give you just a little bit more information about Wayne. So Wayne is 40 years old. He has one young son. He works an IT desk job, so he is desk bound most of the day. Now, one thing about his home gym setup is he's got quite a bit of equipment. He's got a bench. He's got some weights. He's got quite a few kettlebells with him. So he's got from the small weights, 15 pounds, all the way to 28 kilos. He's got maces, he's got clubs, he's got bands. So let's see how we can help Wayne today. So we're just gonna slide into the conversation here where Wayne is talking about some of his goals that he had pre-pandemic and what they are like today. What I remember back when we used to train in person, your goals were you're always trying to just kind of improve, always trying to improve your cycling game. Love cycling, and this was just something else to help you cycle and get stronger and work out the imbalances that cycling, as a heavy cycler, you're going to be working heavy on the quads, heavy on the lower back. So you were just looking for something else. Have things changed now that you've been working from home, working with kettlebells? Are some of your goals still the same? Is it still towards cycling, or has it changed a little bit?
You know, I think, yeah, you're right. Originally, it was all for cycling. I wanted to be better balanced on my bike when I'm on the road, when I'm on the trails, whatever. And it's helped, right? Those cables that we did, those exercises that we did, you know, it's helped. But I think since the pandemic, because we've been all stuck at home, I'm not necessarily going out as much, just because, you know, the group I used to go out with, they've kind of disbanded just because of COVID. So I've been like kind of just working out, no, by myself. I have a bench. I have a couple of dumbbells, 35 pounds and 20 pounds. And I sort of did that, but it was very basic, right? It was more what I think you'll call those mirror muscles, right? It was like, you know, my evenings would consist, oh, I'm just going to bench press these 35 pounds. I would do my biceps. I'd do my shoulders. And then maybe I'll do my legs, right? But then it kind of got boring. Like, it was just too repetitive, right? And I didn't know how best to structure my workouts. I think when I came to you, what was so super eye-opening for me was that we spent a lot of time on my hamstrings. We spent a lot of time on my back. We spent tremendous amount of times on like just the back of our, I, just the back of our shoulders, the lower back, the hamstrings, the calves. I'm like, what are you doing, Jimmy? And then he's like, just you wait and see. And now I see. I'm like, oh my gosh, like it's great that I spent so much time on, you know, my back, because now that when I stand up, I'm standing much straighter and taller, and you know, my shoulders are pulled back and not slouched forward, things like that. So I think you're right. I think my goals have changed. So now the cycling has sort of taken a back seat to the strength workout. It just because I find that I don't know, I feel like I get more out of the kettlebells, the strength part of it. I feel better after the workout. It's way more efficient, right? You're right. I think the last 18 months has sort of been morphed, like the needle has shifted over to the strength side rather than, you know, keeping on with the bike stuff, right?
So we come to the topic of strength again. We tackled this topic on episode 72 of the podcast when I had TC on the call, and I was asking him to define strength. Even though both their definitions of strength are completely different, they're both still just as valid. So when you think about strength, and this is like a, for me, always like hot topics, because when people come and sit down and they have an initial consultation with me, the general three things are, I want to lose weight, which I think is a little bit more measurable, and we have a good idea of like what we want to lose weight with. But I also have a couple of things that, you know, when people say they want to lose weight, I always ask them. But when it comes to things like, I want to get stronger, and I want to have more cardio, these two things always like intrigue me when people say that, because I always wonder, like, what do they mean, or what are they thinking of when they say more strength? For you, you're saying more strength. What does that mean to you, more strength?
My original goals was, because I'm a cyclist, my lower body is very strong, right? But what happens is my upper body isn't as strong, so I don't have the balance that I did on the bike. And then also it was more about, can I, you know, if I were to fall on the road, on the trails, do I have enough strength, or do I have enough muscle to kind of protect myself, right? So it's for me, the strength was, can I protect myself, but also can I be a better human, right? Because when we're not strong, we're kind of like slouching, we're not walking tall, we have poor posture, and we're all sitting at a desk. Like I have a desk job, right? So I'm always sitting at a desk, I'm hunched over. I think I was looking towards strength in that way, where I can do stuff better. I can lift a suitcase, I can play with my son without getting tired, you know, things like that.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's such an important point that you're making, because everybody has their own idea of what strength is. I recently had another coaching call where I had TC on, and this was a couple episodes ago, and he said, I want to get strong, I want to be able to lift as much as I can, as fast as I can, and I want to be able to recover quickly. That's his idea of strength, and I think that's great. And then you have another idea of strength, which is, I want to, if I fell off my bike, would I feel confident? Would I feel strong enough to be able to push, to be able to get up and continue to push? Will I be able to play with my son and not get tired, right? Will I have better posture? And I think that is also a very relevant and good definition of strength. And, you know, and if we can define that and have parameters, and if we can have benchmarks to kind of realize that, because if you realize, like, oh, you know what, I've been playing with my kid, and you know what, I'm really tired, then that's not going against, that's going against your definition of strength. So that's awesome that you have those.
So we've gotten to know Wayne just a little bit more, and we got to hear some of his past training, his protocols, his goal setting, and let's get into why he's here today. He's here today on the show to talk about his injury and how he can still work out while being injured. How can he work on certain body parts when he can't move a certain way? So his injury is a very common injury that a lot of people get. Whether you're working out or not, it is very common. So let's hear about his experience, because this might resonate with a lot of you listeners out there.
We started working out virtually with Team Remix, the virtual team together, and we have a separate kettlebell class.
And you have now since, you know, stopped doing the kettlebell class for a few reasons, but one of the main reasons was because you got injured. And it was partly maybe, yeah, you know what, I'll let you describe. Talk to us about the injury.
So just like throughout the classes, I think, you know, I've had a lot of injuries, but the main injuries I've had was, golfer's elbow on my left side. It started on my left side. I kind of got that kind of worked out. And then ever since we stopped again, because I've been sort of trying to program my own workouts, I kind of developed it on my right side. So now I have both sides. I have golfer's elbow. So kind of pain on the inside of the elbow, and it presents itself in different ways. So on the left side, when I had it in, at the beginning of this year, it was more on the pressing motion.
You lift a weight above.
Yeah, if I lifted the weight up on anywhere. But on the right side, it was a little bit different. It was more on the pulling motion. So if I was rowing something from the floor or doing, swings or whatever, that's kind of where it aggravated it. So that's been a bit of a challenge for me because I have to now think of other ways to work out, say, my back, because I can't pull the kettlebells from the floor anymore. And that's been sort of my challenge, kind of figuring out how to do something without being able to row heavy or even row, like just even pick up anything from the floor, right?
So do you have any questions in regards to your training now? And how are you just completely just trying to avoid it and work around it?
Well, I think the biggest question I think I have is, hey, look, I can't, I don't want to aggravate my shoulder any further than it is now. Or even when it was injured, I couldn't pick up anything. And that was pretty hard because with the kettlebell, you kind of have to pick it up, right? You kind of have to swing it. You kind of have to do all sorts of things with your hands. What are some of the, I kind of want to know, if I have this injury again, what's the best way to work around it and still say, I want to work out my back? I still want to do rows or whatever. What's the best way to work around it and not aggravate it, right?
So here I'm going to describe three exercises. Now, you can't see that I am demoing the exercises for him. So we're going to make this real easy. If you go to today's show notes, you will see a link, and that link will take you to the three exercises that I described to Wayne. So we'll make it easy. You'll have that visual component. So visit the show notes or visit remixmyfitness.com. Go to today's episode, and you will see it all there. You're going to have to lean towards the bands. This is something that you're going to have to do. But you can use those bands, I think, in different ways. So I'm going to guess maybe when you are using the bands, when you say when you use bands, it doesn't really affect you very much, or it doesn't hurt as much. Is it because that we're doing the band rows where we have it maybe underneath our foot and we're lifting it this way? So it's still the same kind of motion. So what I'm going to suggest to you to do is to work your back out, and we can definitely work our back out. And these are some of my favorite things to do is, but you're going to need maybe an extra piece of equipment or maybe a little bit of a workaround, which is to attach the band in a way on a door. Okay. So then I'll just kind of show you the motion. The motion would be my arms would be straight, and then from here I would work what's called a pull down. And I know we've worked this together in person. Okay. And this is such a huge, huge back exercise for the mid part of our back, but particularly our lats. So think of like doing like a lat pull down. Okay. But instead of a lat pull down, our arms are going to be straight and we get to pull this down this way here. Okay. So that'd be like an awesome, awesome way to not only just activate your back, I guarantee you're going to feel that pump. I know for me, I always get a crazy pump out of it. So this is one of the first things that I do. You can go to like a playground, attach I know you have the red and black power bands. You can pull those down as well. And you'll know right away when it's bad or when it's good, because you're going to feel that little pull in your elbow. So do you have an attachment where you can maybe attach a band and be able to pull it down?
Yeah, I think I would have to look for it, maybe at a door or one of the I guess one of the rafters.
Mm-hmm. I'll send you a link, because on Amazon, usually like those suspension trainers, like a TRX or something like that, they sell these little door attachment things, and they're like $5, $6, I think. And you can just prop it around your door, and then you can loop your band in there and then pull it down.
Mm-hmm.
So that'd be one way. Another way, which I think would be awesome, because you also, like, you could do this on the floor, but if you have a bench, this is going to work great, which is you can work a pullover. Okay, so another style of pullover, laying on your back, and I'll probably put it this way, my mic's this way here, but laying on your back and grabbing the weight and pulling it all the way over, trying to push the range of motion past your back, and then bringing it up to the center of your chest here. So mm-hmm. it's called a pullover here.
Does that work, again, the same part of the back?
Yeah, it works the same part of your back. You will get, I find, and it also works your chest as well.
Mm-hmm.
I find that you get less of a pump this way. And it's so funny because we're using a weight for this than you would with, let's say, the band pull downs.
Oh, right? Really?
But you get more of a stretch. I think because the weight is pulling you down, the gravity is pulling the weight down. I could feel like right in my lats here, just getting stretched out so much. Mm-hmm. And then when I pull it up, I'm getting that. I'm pulling using the extensors in my back, and then my chest also helps it out as well. You can lay flat on long way on your bench, and that would be like an easy start to the motion. Or number two, you can lay horizontally, and this one can be a little bit awkward because you need to do a little bit of a bridge to be able to lift your hips up,
mm-hmm.
and pull the weight back that way. You'll get an even bigger stretch out of it, but a little bit more, on the high risk side, just depending on how your bench is set up. You can do this on the floor as well. If your weight is heavy, you use one weight.
Mm-hmm.
If you're on the floor, I would say like it's easier to, not easier, but you can get away with using two weights. And you just have to make sure in either variation that that your arms are super straight the whole time. You can't have any bend. As soon as you bend your elbows, even just a little bit, you're going to have that disconnect between your back and your shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
So those would be like that would be the best way to go about it. Of course, using lighter weights would also be kind of a good start. Try working the band, the upright row with a lighter band. Sorry, a lighter weight, or maybe with a band, and just kind of see. You can also do like pull downs. You can also do the pull overs with a single arm, and you can single out that one side and see like, okay, you know what? Let me angle it this way. Would my back get better? Or does it feel heavier on my back? Is it harder on my back when I do a single arm on my right side compared to my left side?
Mm-hmm.
And then the third and final one that I would suggest, also straight arm, would be something called a Y raise. Okay, and I know we've done the Y raise before. This is a tremendously hard exercise to do. So you would need to, again, use your bands, stick your band on the floor. And we're going to be standing with our knees bent, butt back, almost like in a standing row position. And literally you're going to make a Y shape. And it's going to force your back to be in this V, force your back into this V shape. And then you pull back down. You use weights with it, like little light weights, like 5 pounds, 8 pounds. It's hard. It is such a hard exercise to get it done right. So that would say those are the three that out of the three exercises that I described to you is the most common, I would say, feature or problem or thing to think about, which is they will work your back and they will work your back tremendously. Mm-hmm. However, you need to be very technical to be able to make sure that you get the full bang out of it.
Nice.
So those are the three. I will send you videos, yeah, or little clips of the three as I always do. And and of course, to the listeners out there, I also have that on our show notes page.
That's interesting because when I was started thinking about what kind of back exercises I can do in place of, you know, say a heavy row or heavy lift, I never thought about using straight arms. Because I'm always thinking, oh, I'm just going to, you know, kind of pull it from the floor, or pull the bands from the floor, or kind of pull it from a bar, kind of like this. But those are quite interesting about the pull downs, keeping the arm straight, because mm-hmm. then that would kind of protect the you know, the inside of the elbow a bit, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You may still feel like, again, it depends on the tension of the bands and the amount of weight that you pull. So obviously go very light in the beginning. And you might think like, oh, you know what? I don't really feel anything. So make adjustments. The other thing to think about on top of having your arms straight is the placement of your shoulders. So I kind of always kind of give this cue of, if you feel it like more so in your neck or your traps, right? The area where it connects your shoulder and your neck together. And you're starting to do those pull downs like, oh, you know, Jimmy told me to do these pull downs. And I feel that's a lot more in my neck. Take a look at like what your shoulder's doing. If your shoulder's up to here and because the band is so heavy and you're going to do that, you're 100% going to feel that in your neck. Mm-hmm. The same thing if you're doing the rows. If you're doing the rows and your shoulder's really close to your neck, your shoulder's really close to your head, to your head or to your ears, you're going to feel that in your neck. So especially with the band pull down, this portion over here, you actually need to pull your shoulders up, roll them back, and then you pull them all the way down as low as I can. Even right here without the band, I'm doing the exercise. I feel my back a lot. It's already contracted. So imagine having to pull this down. My back is contracting right away. Mm-hmm. So pay attention to the shoulder placement in relative portion to your ear. So that'd be the other point. So right after this, Wayne describes about his training style and how he tends to push maybe a little bit too much. So I start asking him some questions, kind of probing away, and I think we pinpoint exactly why he gets injured, and maybe it has nothing to do with him pushing too hard. So let's check it out.
Yeah, I mean, I think interestingly, because I've been training in kettlebells, and you know, with kettlebells, there's a tendency that you can go, you know, with all the ballistic exercises, like the swings, the snatches, the clean and press, I have a very bad habit of pushing myself too far. And this is how I get injured, right? This is how my injury started, because it's not because I did something, the technique was wrong. Maybe it is, but I feel this more, I went too heavy. I went too many reps. I went too many sets, and my body just like, you know, pump the brakes type of thing, right? I'm curious to hear your thoughts. Like when I'm programming my workouts, like what is the best way to say, I want to still get the volume in, like I want to get 20 presses in for this day. But what is the best way to do it? Is it like 3 sets of 10, or is it 10 sets of 3, right? Like what's the best way to actually approach it from a, like, and now that if I say lifting heavier weights, I want to get stronger in a certain exercise, I don't want to push myself too far, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The best way would be, and if we were to go back and look at your goals, right? What were the goals? The general idea of, you know what, I wanna feel good when I'm at my desk. I don't wanna feel like slouching. I wanna be able to play with my son. I wanna have general energy. We defined that was one of your goals, and that's what you defined as getting strong and strength. So if we're going to lean towards one side, we're going to lean towards doing 3 sets of 10. Okay. Doing 10 sets of 3, another great way to build strength, but we're going to need heavy weights, and it goes against what you just told me, goes against some of the goals. When you are working your progressions, like when you're working your workouts, are you doing time or are you doing reps?
Reps.
You're doing reps.
Yeah.
Are you timing how long it does it take to take your reps?
No.
Okay. I'm just trying to get a full idea of it. And when you program your own workouts, and what kind of warm-ups, like, are you doing? I would say you better be doing warm-ups. If you've been training with me, you should be. I know you better be, but are you doing warm-ups?
Yeah, I am doing warm-ups. I have about 5 to 7 minutes of warm-up.
And then the main part of your workout, are you like, just like, all right, it's 10 reps, let's go. Like, is that, like, let's say that day you programmed, you know, I'm going to work my strength, I'm going to do, you know, a bunch of snatches and things like that. But is it like, all right, 10 reps, let's go.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah, pretty much. So I'll say, you know, I'll have 10 reps. I'll say, you know, today I want to work 10 reps, but I'll do 3 sets, right? And I'll go at it, right? So
And it's this right here that probably causes the most amount of injuries on top of not warming up. Okay, so Wayne already warms up. He has a 5 to 7 minute routine that he warms up with, which is the most common reason why people get injured, because they don't warm up, they go into it really cold. The fact that he's still getting injured or is prone to injury is because of this. He's going in and he's lifting 10 reps. He's going into his lift still cold. Going in and trying to lift something 10 times, and let's say you're trying to lift that thing 10 times at your almost maximum, or let's say 60-70%, still puts a lot of stress on your body. I recommend to him to do at least 2 sets where he's doing high volume, lightweight, and practicing the movement pattern. So if he is doing, let's say, a clean and press, he's going to be practicing the clean 20 times. Then he's going to be practicing the press 20 times. And then he can put it all together and do the clean and press for 20 reps. And just let his body take the time to recognize the movement pattern, to recognize that he's going to be lifting weights in this manner. So he'll be even warmer and be ready to be able to hit his 3 heavy sets of 10. So one of the final questions that Wayne asked me is about mindset. So we just finished talking about taking 1 step back to be able to move 2 steps forward. Perhaps taking breaks on certain body parts, certain exercises, even though that we made a goal earlier in the month or earlier in the year to be able to achieve. And this is important because sometimes we get very tunnel vision into thinking, oh, I want to get there so bad that you neglect other things. His question is so important because if you don't put yourself into the right mindset and start changing your approach to your own personal fitness, to your own programming, you're going to run into the same mistake. You're going to run into the same roadblock every single time. So if you're prone to getting injuries, and especially if the injury is exactly the same thing as before, you got to think to yourself, I got to do something different. I've got to remix my training somehow. And that all starts in our mind.
How do you deal with the mindset? If you have to regress, it's kind of demotivating sometimes, right? Like, well, how do you deal with the mindset with yourself and either with other clients? Like, because if you say, hey, my goal for this week or so this month is I want to lift 20 reps or 20 kg for 8 reps, for example. And then by the 4th week, you're like, I didn't hit that. What the heck, right? What then do you do? Do you kind of say, oh, I got to revisit this. My goal shouldn't be 8 reps. It should really be 5. For example, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I take an honest self-assessment because I think the whole point of having a goal is it's a challenge, right? And when you look at something, you're like, you know what, I'm going to lift this thing and it's 50 pounds. And first, it's daunting. And we all know, anybody who has maybe started training, that in the beginning, you make a lot of progressions very quickly and you think, I'm going to get to that 50 pounds and it's going to be really easy. But at some point in time, we're going to plateau and we're going to get stuck. I look at that as an opportunity to relook at my goals and relook at what I've done and say, okay, you know what? It's going to take a little bit longer to get there. So how am I going to get there? So far, like me going from heavy to low, I've made some progressions and it's working out great. Let me try it the 2nd month and let me see if I can get a little bit closer there. Let me try it the 3rd month and let me see if I can get even closer. Oh, wait a minute. There's a snag. I'm not getting any better. I have made no improvements from the previous month. So what do I need to do? And then you look back and you think to yourself, okay, you know what? Maybe I need to go in reverse. Maybe I need to start heavier and take a little break midway through the 3rd week and go light. And then maybe try that and see how that works. So it's a constant fiddling of it. There's no one system that's going to work and say, hey, you know what? This is it. In terms of like the discouragement part, I can't say that I get discouraged myself. Like I look at that as a learning opportunity for me to be like, okay, where can I get better? What's stopping me? Maybe it has nothing to do with the presses at all. Mm-hmm. Maybe it has something to do with my back, the back of my shoulder, right? Maybe it has something to do with my lats. Maybe it has something to do with the way I'm sitting or the way I'm standing, right? Like those are, again, other opportunities for you to look at to doing.
But I think for an amateur kind of like me, like for someone that's inexperienced like me, I don't have that kind of like wherewithal to say, oh, you know, I really need to work on activating my lats this week or this month so that I can press that 28 kg, for example, with confidence. Now, what do you know? And then if that's the case, what do I need to do to work on to be able to activate my lats or activate my core so that I can press the 28 or 20 or whatever that my goal is, right?
The best thing is, honestly, Wayne, it's taking a break.
Yeah.
Taking a break. And I don't mean like taking a break from your workout, but you get to a certain point and you get like, man, you know what? I'm so frustrated. I can't lift this thing. Why don't I take a break from it? And then force yourself to work out other things.
Mm-hmm.
While you're working out other things, your body gets, that area of that body gets to take a little bit of a breather. And two, you get to work on something else that maybe you didn't think had anything to do with your pressing at all. Mm-hmm. But you all of a sudden, you have other things click into your mind. You know, sometimes you get so tunnel vision into thinking, you're like, all right, this is it. This is how I'm going to get there. And you get so stuck and you forget to kind of look to A, to B, to C.
Mm-hmm.
But you take that break and you think, you know what? You know, I gotta take my shoulders a little bit tired. Like right now, like you're injured. How am I going to work out my back during that time? You are only going to get better at some of your back movements from doing these straight arm movements. Mm-hmm. Guaranteed you are. Guaranteed you are.
Mm-hmm.
So just taking a break and maybe not even thinking about it, just taking a step back. I want to do something else.
All right. Yeah.
Which sounds very simple, but
But when you have a, you know, I think you're right, because a lot of us have tunnel vision, right? Like I said, because I have this one goal that I want to do, that's the only thing I want to work on. But it's deciding what are the accessory, the secondary and the tertiary exercises to do to make that stronger. Because now I'm second guessing myself, like, oh, if I do, say I'm holding the weights to my side, and am I getting the same benefit as if I'm pressing the weight up over my head, right? Or if I'm, you know, doing shoulder raises or whatever, am I getting the same type of effect? And it's hard to actually think about if you're right or wrong, because you always have that doubt in your mind. Or at least I do. I always have that doubt in my mind, saying, oh no, you know what? I don't want to do those exercises just because it's not what my goal is right now. So I think that's kind of a different way to think about it, right?
I run into the same problem myself. I have an encyclopedia of exercises in my mind, and I always think I only have a finite number of minutes in my day to be able to get my own personal workouts in. I don't stress over it,
mm-hmm.
right? Because tomorrow I get to come back and I get to work out again, you know,
right.
And I can stretch again. So don't, like, I know you may have that doubt. Don't do it. Like, don't have it. Just go ahead. Just try it that day, because tomorrow you will know whether it was the right exercise for you or not, whether it was for you, whether you should have done it or not.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't do it, you'll never know, right? You'll never know, and you'll kind of second guess, and you'll go through other lists of exercises. Like, I think this is better. I don't know.
Yeah.
Just do it. That concludes another coaching call on the Remix My Fitness podcast. I just want to touch on one thing before we conclude the episode today. At the very end, I'm talking about how, you know, sometimes we get so stuck into thinking, is this the right move? Is that the right move? Should I be working out this? Should I be working out that? And this is, you know, that common phrase that you hear, analysis is paralysis. I too, and I know a lot of other trainers do too, and bodybuilders, fitness instructors, athletes who train themselves, and we just kind of get stuck thinking like, is this the right thing? Am I going to be wasting my time doing this? And as I tell Wayne, the best thing to do is just to go and just do it. So if you are trying to lose weight, you're trying to get strong, or you're trying to increase your cardio or your health, and you're wondering, what should I be doing? Just go with your gut. Do something, because that something is going to lead to something else, and you're going to learn through the process every single time. You won't lose. I promise you this. You won't lose by just trying. All right? So that concludes another episode of the Remix My Fitness podcast. Of course, subscribe to the podcast if you enjoy what I'm saying. And if you don't, keep it to yourself. And of course, you can hit me on the social, DM me. Don't be shy. mckim@remixmyfitness.com is my email. So that's it, everybody. So until next time, don't forget to set some goals. Challenge yourself. And most importantly, make this a fun thing for you. Have some fun. Peace.